All right. Hallelujah. So again, let's start, let's reread 2 Corinthians 10:4 just for the sake of our recordings. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So again, it says that they're mighty. And when we talk about mighty, we don't think about weak. Right? When you talk about Mighty Mouse, those that remember Mighty Mouse from years ago, it's not just a wimpy mouse. Right? There was something special about him. He was mighty. Hallelujah. And mighty is something that we must understand in regards to the weapons that God has given us. He has given us weapons that are mighty, which means there's more. They're well able to do the job, right? Hallelujah. Amen. So they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds, for the purpose of casting down arguments or imaginations, and for bringing into captivity every thought. The weapons that we have are well able to deal with the works, the wiles, and the strategies of the devil that we've been talking about. And so the last couple weeks, we've been talking about one of the weapons being the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? And so we've been talking about the Word of God. And now today, we want to talk about the name of Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 9. Or verse 1, I mean, 1 to 9. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple of at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walking, and entered into the temple, entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So the name of Jesus was used here. We can see it used for kingdom authority. Amen. Kingdom authority is released in the name. Kingdom authority is released in the name. The name of Jesus. Let's just move over one page. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is only salvation in one name, and one name only. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that gives and brings salvation. It's the name of Jesus that connects us to the Savior. There is no other name. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, the word saved and salvation When you get saved, you receive salvation. Okay? It's the same word, but there's a different tense to it. So the Greek word saved is sozo, and the Greek word salvation is soteria. Saved, healed, delivered, preserved, rescued, made whole. So when I get saved, I receive salvation. When I get healed, I'm healthy. When I'm delivered, I've received deliverance. Amen? So deliverance, preservation, there is no other name by which we can obtain healing, wholeness, prosperity, victory, preservation, rescue. These are all the English words that this Greek word or these two Greek words mean. We have access to them in and through the name of Jesus. The wonderful name of Jesus. So there's no other name. People say, oh, there's many different ways. No, there's only one way. Jesus said it himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Amen? Hallelujah. There's one way. Jesus' name. There's only one name. One name. How can we say that? Well, because His name, and there's people, you know, when you talk about Mexican and then the Spanish culture, there's people who have the name Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this Jesus. Amen? There's only one name. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Jesus the Messiah. It's in this name. It's in His name. And how can we say it? How can we say it about Him? Well, there's some things about Jesus. Jesus received His name by... I've got three areas. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. See, Mary and Joseph didn't just, you know, grab themselves a name book from the bookstore and just kind of flip through and come up with a half a dozen names and then kind of stick them up on the wall and throw a dart at it and decide, you know, whichever one the dart, you know, falls on, we'll call him that. No. Jesus received his name. Hebrews 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus received his name by inheritance. Hallelujah. So, no other name given among men whereby we can be saved is this name Jesus. And one of the reasons his name is so special is because it was given to him by inheritance. He received it by inheritance. The Amplified reads this way. Amplified, Hebrews 1, 4. Says, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name, title, which he has inherited, is different from and more excellent than theirs. Jesus has received, he took a place and a rank. He himself became much superior to angels as the glorious name which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. Actually, you know what? I'm going to back the bus up. I'm going to start in verse 2. It says, but in the last of days, He has spoken to us, talking about God, He's spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom He appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Also by and through whom He created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. That is, He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. When He had, by offering Himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and a rank by which He Himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name, the title which He has inherited, is different from and more excellent than theirs. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. This is our Jesus. Hallelujah. He has been appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. I just take a little side journey here, but because of blood covenant, because we have entered into covenant with God through Jesus, the Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And so if Jesus is an heir of all things, the lawful owner of everything, and we are joint heirs with Him, then we must begin to see ourselves. We are joint heirs of all things. We are joint heirs, the lawful owner of everything. Hallelujah. And so an interesting thought here, but I heard Bill Winston say this, and I'm just going to throw it out because I'm still chewing on it. But why should we have to pay for something that already belongs to us? That's a good question. It's a good question. It's a good question. Hallelujah. When God said He'll freely and richly give us all things to enjoy, it's because it belongs to us. He has given it to us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're not talking about stealing something. We're talking about receiving what rightfully belongs to us, our inheritance. Amen? So that's something to chew on. In regards to this verse, something to work on in regards to our faith. But Jesus received His name by inheritance. Amen? So number one, that just makes it important. He inherited the name. Next, Philippians 2. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verses starting in verse 9 to 11. Philippians 2 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So Jesus has received His name by inheritance. And number two, now we see Jesus has received His name because it was bestowed on Him. I think the Amplified might say bestowed on Him. Here we see it says that God has given Him. Given Him. He received His name because it was given to Him. God gave it to Him. The Father gave it to Him. Hallelujah. He received it by inheritance, and the Father gave it to him. And it's at this name that every knee should bow. It's at this name that every tongue confess. It's at this name, the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Both in heaven and earth and under the earth. There is no place in all of creation, in the spirit realm or the natural realm, where this name is not recognized as the name above every name. Hallelujah. So when we're talking about spiritual warfare, when we're talking about the weapons of our warfare, when we're talking about dealing with thoughts and reasonings and imaginations, and casting them down, and pulling them down, and taking them captive, there is a name above every name. There is a name that we can use. There's a name that we couple together with our sword. Amen? The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. So along with the Word of God, we have a name. A God-given name. A name that's been given to us. Hallelujah. It causes our weapons to be mighty. And that's why the name of Jesus is also one of our weapons. Number three, Colossians chapter 2. Just a couple pages over. Colossians chapter 2. Jesus received His name by inheritance. He received His name by because it was bestowed on Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Says, let's just read verse 14 also. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled Jesus, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled principalities. Now I want to read this in the Amplified also. Colossians. Colossians 2. And verse 13. And you who were dead in trespasses and in uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us our transgressions. So in Christ, verse 14, He has canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note or the bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. Our sin, there's handwriting. It's written in a book. Our sin, our actions, has been written in a book. And the Bible says, Jesus, that because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of Jesus' offering, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, He did something about what was handwritten. He did something for us in regards to what the accuser was bringing before the judge, Almighty God, against us. There was stuff against us, legal stuff in the courts of heaven that were against us, that was hindering us from receiving God's plan and His will. This handwriting of our sins. But because of what Jesus did for us, His blood, His life, His sacrifice, He canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting. Amen? It's like a Holy Ghost supernatural eraser. And it not only just erases the color, but it literally erases the dent in the paper. You know, sometimes you can reread what was written on there because you can see the dent in the paper. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. The handwriting. It was canceled and blotted out and wiped away. The handwriting of the note or the bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note, with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of the way by nailing it to his cross. 15. God disarmed the principalities and powers, ranged against us, and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Hallelujah. God disarmed. We've read this scripture before. God disarmed the principalities and powers. He disarmed the enemy against us. Hallelujah. And it's in this name. Jesus received the name by inheritance. He received the name because it was bestowed on him. And number three, he received the name by conquest. Conquest. In other words, he beat the devil. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? If you watch boxing, I mean, back in the day, there was a guy named Muhammad Ali. He became world champion, world champion, world. Why? Because he beat the world champion, right? You get the title because you took it away. You beat the person that had it before you. Amen? Whatever sport, whatever event it is, you get to hold up the cup, you get to hold up the trophy, you get to hold up whatever it might be. When you are the champion, you are given the title because you took it by conquest. You beat everyone else. You are the winner. Jesus is the winner. He received his name, the name above every name. Because he won it. He conquered the enemy. Amen? Hallelujah. By conquest. Glory to God. He got his name. So, the name of Jesus, there's no other name given by which we must be saved. Why? Because no one else has done this. No one else has received the name by inheritance but Jesus. No one else has had the name bestowed on him but Jesus. No one else who through conquest has obtained the name of being above every name but him. Amen? He's done it. He's done it. He's done it. In his name means in his stead, as his representative, and in his place. So when we're to do things in his name, we're doing it representing him. We're doing it in his place. We're doing it on his behalf. We have received what's the phrasing? Power of attorney. Power of attorney. When someone has power of attorney, they're able to sign and make choices on behalf of someone else representing them. Hallelujah. And so in his name, we receive power of attorney in regards to the kingdom of God. In his name means in his stead, in his place, on his behalf, as his representative. Why? Because Jesus is no longer here on the earth in his physical body. Right? We understand that. So people don't come to Jesus anymore. Can you pray for me? Because he's seated at the Father's right hand. But who's here representing him? We are. We're his body. He's the head. We represent him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 20 says this, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray that you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God." Be reconciled to God. Hey, we are ambassadors. The Amplified says it this way, as it amplifies, adds more understanding. 5 verse 20 says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God made his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. We are his ambassadors. We are Christ's personal representatives." Say, "I'm his representative." Amen. That's who we are. That's what an ambassador is. So let's again go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And so Peter and John saw the guy at the gate. And they said, "You know, I don't have any cash on me, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached down and grabbed him by the hand. And he began to lift him. He began to lift him. And in the lifting process, and in his the guy's choice to begin to respond to the lifting, he decided, "I'm going to respond and try to stand." In that moment, faith activated the power, and the power operated, healed his body, gave strength to his legs and his feet, and he was healed. And verse 11 says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together with him in the porch, and was called Solomon's greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, 'You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?'" Why are you marveling at this? "And why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk?" Verse 13, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." What did Peter just do? He just represented Jesus. Amen. Do you see that? He's an ambassador. And he healed, prayed for this guy. He actually didn't even pray for him. He commanded him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He spoke the command of healing and health to him. And he's jumping and he's leaping and he's excited and he's walking in the temple with them, and people are going, that's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy. Wow, he can walk. And he's hanging on to Peter and John and praising God, and they're thinking, these guys must have healed them. And there was this great marveling going on. And what did Peter do? Peter, as a representative and an ambassador of Jesus Christ, he didn't say, "Yeah, wow, this is exciting. Anyone else need prayer?" No, they were marveling. And he said, what are you looking at us for as if we are the ones that did this?" He said, as an ambassador, as a representative. He said, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His Son, Jesus." It's Jesus that did this. It's Jesus that did this. Amen. Can you see that? We're going to find, as we go about in our daily business and whatever we do, our daily lives, that we're going to find opportunities to be a representative of Jesus. We're going to be an ambassador from heaven. We're going to be able to have opportunities to share Jesus, to share the love of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the favor of God. Amen? Ambassadors representing heaven. Representing heaven. Hallelujah. We had a young couple that we were doing some coaching with, and we got to just share in regards to, you know, you want God involved in your marriage. You want to invite God in, you know, and have His blessing. Then there is... there's these six scriptures, and I read six scriptures. You know, the wages of sin is death. That's not exciting, but it's just a fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The result, the harvest, the payment of sin is death. Separation from God. But the good news is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gift of God is eternal life. And this gift was given not because of anything that we did. Because the Bible says that God showed and pointed His love toward us even while we were yet sinners. Even while we weren't even interested in Him. Even when we didn't care about Him. Literally, it happened from before the foundation of the world. So it was literally before we were even born. Before we ever did anything good or bad. God already made the choice to love us. John 10:10 says, "For the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality, life and living." Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This abundant life. "And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Six verses. And then we asked, "Do you want to pray this prayer?" Sure. And so we led them in a prayer to get born again. Hallelujah. Ambassadors. 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 See, when we go out to a restaurant, when we go out to eat, we are ambassadors. We are representatives. And I heard this story when I was pastoring in Ontario, and then recently read this in a book too, but most restaurants, most waiters, waitresses, they don't want to work Sundays. Not because they want to go to church. It's because church people come to them after church. And they don't treat them well, and they tip terrible. They don't want to work Sundays because the church is misrepresenting Jesus. The church is not kind to them. The church. And so I've got a friend who pastors, and at that time when I was in Ontario, pastored the Vineyard Church in Sarnia. And his daughter went to work for, I'm going to say Swiss Chalet. And she heard all this. Nobody wants to work Sundays because church people are not nice people on Sundays. They don't tip well, and they're bossy, and they're not they're 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 they mustn't be kind. They must be frustrated and upset because they had to wait till 12:30 to eat lunch. Huh? They act fleshly. I'm encouraging us. We're representatives. We're ambassadors for heaven. We ought not to be giving place to our flesh anywhere, including the restaurant. And so what he did, and now I don't remember the specifics, but I think however many waiters and waitresses were working there, we'll say 15, maybe 20. He took a $50 bill or a $100 bill in a card that said, thank you. And in the card, he apologized to every one of them for the Christians who misrepresented our God in their restaurant. And she handed out these cards to her fellow staff, and it made an impact in their lives. A $100 bill and an apology. So that's nice for him to do it, but the next Sunday, you would hope that the Christians acted different. I don't know if he made mention of it. I mean, I would have mentioned it in front of the congregation. I mean, it should have been mentioned in the whole ministerial. Everybody should have been made aware that this is the way the people in the restaurants are feeling and thinking, and it's time to grow up. Hallelujah. Amen? We are representatives of the Most High God. Jesse said he doesn't have to wait in line at a restaurant. He walks in and they go, oh, Mr. Duplantis, come to my table. Why? Because when he shows up, he doesn't just tip. He'll talk to the Lord, how much? How much, you know, do they need help? I mean, you listen to Brother Copeland and Jerry Savelle and Jesse Duplantis, and they talk about they're going out and eating lunch, and someone all of a sudden peels off a $100 bill, and the others go, hey, I'm not going to be without the blessing either. So they peel off $100 bills too. And I mean, the waiter or waitress, you know, starts crying because they didn't know how they were going to make it. And all of a sudden they've got $200, $300, $400, $500 cash just dropped in their hand. And so the next time they see him walk through the door, it's like, hey, come to my table over here. You treat me nicely. I like you. I'll treat you nicely too. Amen? Hallelujah. But we ought to be a light. A light. A light. We are the lights. Are we actually shining? Or are we covered in dirt and grime? We are ambassadors of heaven. Glory be to God forevermore. Let us turn to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Now this is talking about Isaac. Genesis 26. Verses 1 to 3. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, his father. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. So, he heard from heaven. Abraham went down to Egypt, and then he came back. But this time, God said, for you, I don't want you to go to Egypt. Oh. And so he didn't go to Egypt. He stayed there. He said, oh, now I want you to continue. I want you to live here. I want you to plant here. And so we see in verse 12, and Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year. which was a famine year, 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. So they envied him. Now, when we talk about ambassadors, there's something that we need to realize about ambassadors. Ambassadors may go to a country that is not their own, but they are not subject to that country's way of living. They're not subject to that country's standard of living. Amen? You have an ambassador that goes from one of our countries, and it goes to a poorer country. They don't eat what the poorer country eats. In their embassy, they eat like they eat back at home. Their living and their standard of living is the way it is back home. Who did I hear preaching? Somebody was in a South American country and came around the corner in it was almost like a really old beat down neighborhood, and they came around the corner, or an area of town, and they came around the corner, and then there was this big place, big fence, green grass. It just literally stood out. It didn't fit. It didn't seem like it belonged. You know, one of these things is not like the other. Right? It didn't seem to fit there. And the question was asked, what is this, or who lives there? It was the embassy. I think it was the U.S. embassy. It looked like it didn't fit there because it didn't fit there. It functioned not based on the economy of the nation it was in. It was based on the economy of the nation it's from. So what does that mean to you and I? That means we don't have to function in this world by and through and subject to this world's system. Amen? We get to function and operate from the kingdom of God, from where we are representing and of whom we are ambassadors. So in a world of sickness and disease, we can be healed. In a world of fear and confusion, we can be filled with faith and love and clarity of mind. We have the mind of Christ. In a world of hate, we can be a people of love and kindness. In a world of lack, poverty, of just enough, we can be rich and wealthy and increasing in goods. In a world where it seems like most people don't have enough, we can have more than enough. Hallelujah. You belong to a kingdom that is much higher and much bigger and much better off than where we're living on the earth. Because we are representatives. We are ambassadors of God, of the kingdom of God. And so Isaac, in the midst of a kingdom and a nation ruled by famine, God said, don't leave. In this place, in the midst of the famine, I want you to sow. I want you to be a representative. I want you as an ambassador to let people know that you are not bound by this famine. Amen? And he sowed and received 100-fold in the famine time. When no one else is receiving anything, he received 100-fold, and he increased and prospered. And the Bible says that the Philistines all around him, they envied him, and they asked him to leave. He was representing a system so much bigger than them, and instead of them wanting to join him and say, teach us, They said, would you please leave? Ambassadors. Ambassadors. You and I are ambassadors. We are not limited to this world system. We are not limited to the natural realm. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors. So His name, Jesus' name, in His name means in His stead as His representative and in His place. Glory to God. So, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 says this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Did you see that? Of whom the whole family on heaven and earth is named. We have been given the name. Jesus was given the name. And now you and I have been given the name. Of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth has been given the name. The name of Jesus. We have been given that name. We've been given the name to use. We've been given the name as a piece of our weaponry. Amen? We don't just have one weapon. We got many weapons. You know, sometimes you get it's a comical thing sometimes in a movie or something where they ask you to, you know, pull out your weapons and out comes a gun here and then a gun there and a gun here and a knife here and a knife here and a knife here, and they got this pile of, you know, weapons. We got a pile of weapons. Hallelujah. We've already talked about the Word of God as a sword, and we're talking about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has been given to us as a weapon. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, let's go back and finish off. Acts chapter 3, right? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He said, what are you looking at us as if we did this? This is because of Jesus. Verse 16. Acts 3:16, he says, and His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It's this name. It's this name. We have been given the name. Peter and John were given the name. They used the name that they were given. And you and I must use the name. It's not just enough to know we have the name. We must use the name. Right? It's not just enough to be clothed in the armor of God, but now we need to swing our sword. We need to speak the Word of God. But we also need to use the name. Speak the name. Hallelujah. Faith in His name. And so Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He made the command. And then took hold of the man and began to lift him. And he took hold of the power, received it, and jumped up. We've been given the name. Now it's time to use the name. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 13. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 13. Look at this. Well, let's start back up to verse 11. God wrought or worked special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So then, certain of the vagabond Jews' exorcists took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, but he kind of left Judaism, and he was a chief of priests. It actually means he's like the ruling guy of these exorcists. He wasn't a chief or a priest, but he was a ruler, one of the chief guys of this religious order, which did so. So these seven sons decided they were going to get on this. Okay, all these brothers figured out, let's do this. We'll make ourselves some money this way. And the evil spirit, verse 15, answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled from the house, naked and wounded. One guy beat up these seven brothers, tore and stripped their clothes to pieces, and ran them out the door. One guy, possessed by this demon, because they were trying to play with the name. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but we have no idea who you are. But you and I, as born again believers, we are representatives. We are ambassadors of heaven. We have been given the name. We have been authorized and given the right to use the name. Amen? Hallelujah. There's power in the name. Let's close with Mark chapter 16. There's power in the name. Glory to God. So Mark chapter 16, what we call the Great Commission, Jesus said, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who believe not will be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe in my name." Believers in the name. Believers as representatives. Believers going in Christ's stead. Believers going in His place. We're not doing this on our own. We're not doing this to make people impressed with us. We're doing this to represent Him. Amen? We're using the name of Jesus to represent Him. He said, these signs will follow them. These signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. Believers in my name. We're going in the name. The believers operating in the name. These signs will follow them that believe in the name. In the name of Jesus, what will they do? In the name of Jesus, they will cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, they'll speak with new tongues. In the name of Jesus, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. In the name of Jesus, what will they do? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. In the name. In the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus. We go representing Him, casting out devils. When a demon needs to be cast out, we cast him out in the name of Jesus. We have authority. We speak in new tongues. We're the only people who can do it. The body of Christ, the people of God. We do it because we believe in the name. And if we happen to pick up anything dangerous, if we get bitten or stung or drink anything poisonous by accident, He said it will not hurt us. Woo! It will not hurt us. Bitten or stung. Or eat and drink anything poisonous. It won't hurt us by accident. By accident, it's a different story if you're going to do something on purpose. Put yourself in trouble. But by accident, if we have any of this happen to us, by accident. The Apostle Paul, gathering sticks, threw the sticks in the fire. The snake jumped out and bit him. Poisonous, venomous snake. He shook it back in the fire. And they looked at him. Must be judgment. He didn't drown in the thing, so now he's bitten by the snake. And then they watched long enough, a little longer, and he's still alive. And they thought, he must be a god. No, and he got to preach to them about Jesus. He was a representative of Jesus. Amen? And then we see the last part. Oh, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why do we do that? We do that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, they're healed. In the name of Jesus, they're recovering. In the name of Jesus, they get better. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, just this last little bit, I want us to see here. The word them, he's working with them. The word them is italicized, which means it's not in the original text. So the translators added it. And it's not a bad thing. So let's read it without it. Okay, because it's actually not there. The Lord, they went everywhere. They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. So you need to understand, God works with the word and he confirms the word. It doesn't say he worked with them and confirmed them. He works with the word. But the reason there was confirmation is because they were carriers of the word. So if we can see our first two weapons here in this verse, they spoke the word in the name of Jesus. And God confirmed the word. Amen. Do you see the two weapons? He was able to confirm the word because they were carriers of the word. They were using their sword. They were carriers of the word. And so God worked with them confirming the word. He worked with them because they were speaking the word. If we want God to work with us, we need to speak the word. We need to use our sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And God confirms, he works with us and confirms the word as we are carriers and speakers of that word. Amen? Glory be to God. So we'll pick up here next week and we'll talk about our next weapon, which is the blood of Jesus. Woo! There's power in the blood. Amen. Glory to God.